Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everything that you are doing for us. Thank you for everything that you are. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now to ask for forgiveness for anything we thought or said or done that's displeasing to you, Lord. I ask in Yeshua's mighty name, Father, that you would show mercy upon us. And I thank you, Father, for your forgiveness and your mercy. Lord, there's a lot of people that are dealing with a lot of things right now. A lot of people are battling unbelief. A lot of people are being fearful over the things that are happening in this world. And they just need to hear from you, Father. So I ask in Jesus' name that you would show up and show out, that you would make your love and your promises clear to your children, that you would help them to have their ears unclogged and their eyes opened so that they can see and hear, Father, what you are doing in the earth and understand that you're powerful and that you have everything under control. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for doing that for us and blessing us in that manner and giving us wisdom to be able to discern the dates and the time, to be able to discern prophecy in the book of Revelation coming to pass, and the prophecy that you've given to us through your son Yeshua coming to pass on earth. Thank you, Father, for making us wise virgins and not foolish ones or morons, as it's translated. Thank you, Father, for just being here to help those who are in need, Father, who need to hear who you are, who need to know who you are, who need to learn how to worship you in spirit and in truth so that they can grow in a relationship with you. We thank you, Father, for helping them with that. Father, thank you for showing us who you really are. Thank you, Father, for you are both lion and lamb. And Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. And I ask in Jesus' name that all spirits that are affecting this show, that want to cause confusion, that want to twist words, that want to speak babble, that want to cause fear in the hearts of man, that's not the fear of the Father, that they be bound right now in Jesus' name. Also, Father, I ask in Jesus' name for protection of your holy warrior angels, that you would increase our hedge of protection for those listening right now live and those who are listening in the archives, that they would be protected from all hurt, harm, and danger. and that the attacks from Satan would be crushed at the root, so that they would never manifest in the physical realm or in the spiritual realm. We thank you, Father, for your love and kindness. We can't get enough of telling you thank you for that. And we just thank you, Father, for being and removing me and allowing your voice to speak true through me as your servant tonight on tonight's show. And we seal this prayer in the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, and it is so. Hi, guys. You are listening to the Sunday Night Prayer Team Show. I am your host, Aubrey. I'm so glad that you are here with me tonight. If you need prayer, feel free to call us at 319-527-6027 and make sure you press the number 1 so I can see you in the queue and pray for you. So, over this past month, I have been praying to the Father and asking Him what to talk to you all about on this month's show. And one of the main themes that I kept thinking about was bearing false witness. If you are familiar with the Ten Commandments, then you are familiar with the command to not bear false witness. One of the Ten Commandments that it is listed under is the 9th one, and it says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Now, you can find the Ten Commandments for yourself in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 through 17, if you are a new believer and you're unfamiliar with it, or if you've been in the faith for a while and you just need a quick refresher. And I see in the body of Christ that this is being done in excess, especially with the advent of social media. Now, I don't know too much of what goes on certain major social media channels, which may seem ironic for someone like me who is a millennial, and stereotypically we are known as a generation that is heavily focused on social media. Again, that is a stereotype. So if someone says, well, all millennials do social media, well, all millennials are on this social media platform, they're lumping an entire social group into a stereotypical idea that may not be true of all of them. My point proven with me, case in point. So what you would be doing if you are one of those people who would say something like that is you would be bearing false witness against a whole bunch of people that you don't know, because nobody knows every single man-made people group on earth except Jesus. And He created us all through the Father at the beginning of time, as notated in the book of Genesis. We were first created in the image of Elohim, meaning we were created as spirit first, because our Heavenly Father is a spirit. And you can find that in John chapter 4, verse 24 through 26, you'll figure out that God is a spirit. Our Elohim, Adonai Elohim, is a spirit. Yahweh Elohim is a spirit. And I'm talking about the same entity, that being God the Father. And so mankind was first created to be like the Father as a spirit. And then the Father goes further to create mankind in a form, that being dust of the earth. So we're created in two forms that are dictated to us in Genesis. First, we're made in His image as a spirit, and then we are formed from the dust of the earth. And I say we in reference to man was formed from the dust of the earth after he was formed in the Father's image, the image of Elohim. Then it says He formed man from the dust of the earth. So first He created in His image, that image being spirit, and then man was formed. And after man was formed and God saw that he needed a helpmeet, then us ladies were formed. So only the Father knows who is like what. And he knows that we are all made in his image. Now, in regards to bearing false witness, as I was saying earlier, you see this a lot in the body of Christ, and mainly through those who do videos about leadership in Christ. Now, there's a way to correct people, and we are to judge righteous judgment. We don't judge final judgment. Final judgment is done by Yeshua himself at the Bema Seat and at the white throne judgment. We do righteous judgment, which is why there's some confusion with judgment where you hear believers and unbelievers say, you're not supposed to judge. And then you know that they didn't bother to be informed of the different translations of the word judge and what it actually means in the Greek in the different forms of the word judge. One is to be, one is final judgment, and another one is righteous judgment. So you have those that are creating videos about people in leadership position, and maybe they know they're anointed, maybe they don't, but they are bearing false witness at times because they don't know these people. And most of the facts are based on hearsay, which is a terrible thing to do in the body of Christ, because if you are bearing false witness against somebody, not only are you breaking God's command, you could also be bearing false witness against someone who's anointed. And if they are anointed by God, then you will face some serious consequences from the Father for putting your mouth on them. And I know that for you international listeners that hear the word put your mouth on someone, it's American slang for talking poorly about someone. So, that's what the Father brought up in my spirit in regard to bearing false witness, because you see that a lot even in the political realms. You see it in the entertainment realms. You see it all over in this fallen world in different realms. But we as believers are not supposed to be bearing false witness against other people. Because when you bear false witness against someone, you are essentially lying. So not only are you breaking one commandment, you're breaking multiple commandments, because we're also commanded to love. Now, love does not excuse someone acting acting inappropriately or excuse someone who is out of order that needs proper correction. But our Lord and Savior provided a way to correct someone. He says, if you have aught with someone, to correct them in private. Now that's a mind-blowing concept, because you see a lot of people providing correction publicly. It makes you wonder, did they follow what our Lord and Savior did to correct someone privately? I could even use the example of this. I know it feels like I'm jumping all over the place, but stay with me. Sometimes you can look at someone, and if you happen to know what symbolism means, you can put on them what you think you know about symbols and say, oh, this person's doing that because they're wearing this. Or this person is doing that because I saw them and they had their makeup done in this way, which means they are a part of this crowd. Again, you could be possibly bearing false witness, and you could be possibly talking about someone's anointed. For example, in my promo picture, I have on a coat that is black and gray. It almost looks like it's white, but it easily, if you look at the coat too quickly, it can look like it's black and white when it's black and gray. And it looks like it is in a checkerboard pattern, but it's actually not. And someone looking at that is operating with a spirit of bearing false witness could look at that coat and say, oh, she's wearing a checkerboard coat. This means she's affiliated with X, Y, and Z people, which would be incorrect. So you never want to be someone like that who is going around bearing false witness, because not only are you breaking the Father's commands, you are also lying about someone potentially and not loving them and not following Yeshua's command to go to a person if you have aught with them and talk to them privately. So if you are having trouble tonight with bearing false witness, or if you've been a victim of someone bearing false witness, we can pray for you about that. If you're the one doing the gossiping and bearing false witness, and you want to break free from that, we can pray for you to break free. That's what we're here to do. Now, we're not here to shame you. If it's something major, we will talk to you in private, because that's how we do edification. Because we're all in this walk of going through sanctification so that we can look just like our Lord and Savior looks, just like our Adonai looks. Seems like I'm going on a tangent there. But just think about this. Let me give you a scripture reference so that you can do your due diligence to study to show yourself approved. Get it? So if you want to look up the scripture about bearing false witness, there is many, 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 many. And it says Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Proverbs 19:9 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Interesting, huh? So you have people that bear false witness even about the Heavenly Father. There are people that will say, oh no, the Heavenly Father would never do X, Y, and Z. He's love. When they fail to realize what love means, agape in its form in regards to our Heavenly Father, and the fact that agape is just, it is also lion and lamb, meaning that it is awesome and also loving in the sense that you would consider loving as a human. Because a lot of people want to lump God into their version and definition of love, which is mostly based on humanism. And you can't base humanism on our almighty creator, because he is not human. He is spirit. He is the creator of all things. So you want to make sure that when you listen to people that are speaking about your Heavenly Father, that you're well informed about who he is and who his nature is. For example, if you read in Leviticus where he talks about people he hates, you're going to be surprised with his reactions and judgments against them, against those people, if you've been under the false witness of who he really is. So one of the prayers that if you think you may be under the impression that you don't know who the Heavenly Father actually is, we can pray for you about that so you can get clarity on that. So you won't believe any of the lies or the false witness bearing that mankind tends to do about the Heavenly Father, because it fits their comfort level. For example, in the Living Word, it says that he was pleased to see Jesus crushed on the cross. Now, does that sound like rainbows and sunshine? I don't think so. So you would miss a part of God's nature if you are not familiar with it, and if you are under a false belief of who he really is because someone presented a false witness about him. You never want to do that. You never want to be in a position where he says, I never knew you. So make sure you know who the Heavenly Father is. And you can do that by reading the Bible in its entirety, by sitting with him and asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, by asking the Father for wisdom, because he said if you ask for wisdom that he'll give it to you. So there are ways that you can figure out who he really is, so there's really no excuse there. Again, for you guys just now listening in, this is the Sunday Night Prayer Team Show. I am your host, Aubrey. If you need prayer, feel free to call me at 319-527-6027 and make sure you press the number 1 so I can see you in the queue and pray for you. Okay, it seems like I've been going all over the place, but this is what I got a revelation on this month about bearing false witness, and I really feel like that's something that the body of Christ needs to work on. That way, when you, if you operate in the fivefold ministry as an evangelist, that your witness is not hurt because you could be caught by someone that's an unbeliever or someone who is backslidden, and they see you bearing false witness against someone, they may not want to listen to anything you have to say. So be careful about that. And again, if you need help with that, we can pray for you about that. So, before we get into taking callers, I always like to pray and praise the Heavenly Father. We want to enter His courts with praise. And so to start us off, I have a worship song I would like everyone to listen to. Normally, because of copyright reasons, I would just play my intro song again because it's a great song for personal worship because there's absolutely no lyrics and you can make up your own lyrics in a joyful noise unto the Father as you're listening to it. So we want to enter His courts so that you can get the answers that you need. We've already, at the beginning of the show, asked for forgiveness. We've been cleansed as if we're walking into the Holy of Holies place. And Jesus tore the veil to the Holy of Holies when he was crucified on that tree. So we have direct access to the Father, but there's a way to approach him. There's a proper way to approach him. There's also an improper way to approach him, but you want to focus on the proper way to approach him. You come to him first with thanksgiving. You thank him for who he is. Then you ask for a cleansing. So you wash yourself with the water of the word. You can ask for forgiveness. That's how you cleanse yourself. You confess your sins so you can be forgiven. And then you forgive those who may have done something to you that you didn't like or may have hurt you in a certain way, and you let that go. Now you're ready to walk into the Holy of Holies and make your requests known. And Jesus gives you a prime example. It's found in the Lord's Prayer. So at the beginning of the prayer, where you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You're praising his name. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You're giving praise to wanting his kingdom, his ways on earth. The next thing is, "Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You're asking for forgiveness. You're getting cleansed. And the next thing, you're making your request known. "Give us this day our daily bread." And that's how you come before him. So, in recap really quick, if I went too fast right there, you enter his courts with praise. Practically speaking, start praising the Father, which is why I play that worship song before I start taking callers. The next thing you need to do is to ask for forgiveness for anything you thought or said or done that's displeasing to him. And then receive that forgiveness. And forgive others so that he will listen to your prayers and actually forgive you. And the next thing you do is, when we're praying together, we're going to make our requests known. Deal? Sound good to you guys? Okay. So after I play this song, I will be taking callers. And meanwhile, while you're listening to the song, make sure you're praising the Father. Especially if you're in the queue and you need prayer, start praising the Father and then ask for forgiveness so we get that cleared up so you're nice and ready to make your request known. All right, guys, if you're just calling in to the show, this is the Sunday Night Prayer Team Show, or if you're just now listening in on the show, this is the Sunday Night Prayer Team Show. I am your host, Aubrey. If you need prayer, feel free to call us at 319-527-6027 and make sure you press the number 1 so I can see you in the queue and pray for you. Okay, guys, let's get ready to listen to this song and make sure you follow those quick and easy little steps I just gave you, which is just nothing but a mirror of the Lord's Prayer, so that you can get into the position to make your request known to the Father. All right, I'll be right back after this song.
Thank you.
listening to the Sunday Night Prayer Team Show. I'm your host, Aubrey. If you need prayer, call us at 319-527-6027 and make sure you press the number 1 so I can see you in the queue and pray for you. Okay, let's see who I can choose first. All right. I take my first caller, 251-342. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Hey, Aubrey. This is Latrice calling from Alabama.
Hey, Latrice from Alabama.
I'm
How
sorry?
How can I pray for you tonight? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I'm calling and ask that you set yourself in agreement with some matters that I have on the altar and believe in God for their manifestation.
Okay. Will do. Do you want to share them or you just want me to go ahead and be in agreement?
Be in agreement.
Oh, okay. All right, Heavenly Father, I just lift up our sister in Christ to you right now in Jesus' name. You know the plans that you have for her. And I thank you, Father, that they are to bring about good. And I know that you are there listening to her and her petitions that she has before you. And I just stand in agreement with her right now in Jesus' name that you would bring those things to pass, Heavenly Father. And I just thank you for bringing them to pass in Jesus' name. And we're just believing that miracles will manifest around it, that Latrice will have a wonderful testimony to share with others, to encourage them and build up their faith for seeing the wonderful things that they have done, that you have done, Heavenly Father, in her life. In Jesus' name I pray, and let it be so. All right.
Thank you, Lord. I do thank you, Aubrey, and you have a good remainder of your day.
Thank you. You too. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let's go to my next caller, 870-500. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Yolanda, Arkansas.
Yolanda from Arkansas. How are you doing? It seemed like you just broke up in my earpiece. Yolanda, I was trying to spell your name. All righty. How can I pray for you this evening? Say that one more time. I didn't hear anything. Hello? I can't hear Yolanda. Yolanda, try calling me back because I'm totally not hearing anything coming through on my end. Okay. While we wait for Yolanda to call back, I have a prayer request for you all, for the people that are being affected by this virus. It appears that there have been some people that have been perpetuating this to cause other people harm. And we as the body of Christ can take authority over things on this earth. So let's take authority over that. Okay, let's see if we can get, right quick, let me try and get Yolanda and we'll come right back to take an authority against this virus. All right. Hello, 870. You there? Okay, there she is.
Yes, ma'am.
All right,
and
now
my name is Chuck. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. How do I spell your name?
S-H-A-V-O-N-D-A.
Okay. V-O-N-D-A. Okay. What can I pray for you about this evening?
Agreement for a job that I've been praying for, and as the Lord leads you.
Okay. All righty. Heavenly Father, we just know that you are our provider, and we thank you for our sister in Christ. We know that you'll make her path straight and that you are showing her right now the path that she should take. Even though it may look a little bumpy ahead, you know that she knows that you will be there, Father, holding her hand all the way through. And so we just ask in Jesus' name that you would open up that path for her so she can see it clearly. We know that you've already done this, Father. We just ask that she would see it clearly and take that path and take that leap of faith, Father, that you are encouraging her to do right now in Jesus' name. Let this job be one of provision to her that provides a nice and happy life for her where she can carry out your plans on this earth, Father, and encourage others to walk by faith and not by sight. And I ask in Jesus' name, Father, for those doors that are open that she doesn't need to go through, that those would be closed right now in Jesus' name, and that she would have the wisdom to see the doors that you have open for her so she can walk through them. And Heavenly Father, for those who are being malicious in her life and trying to stop her path, Father, we just take authority over that right now in Jesus' name, and we crush it at the root. And Father, we just know that you're using her for mighty things in this earth. And I thank you, Father, for giving her eyes to see and ears to hear so that she would obey your call, Father, and carry out your plans here on earth. And as Father, as she's crying out to you tonight, I ask in Jesus' name that you would make yourself tangible to her, that she would see that you're there with her, encouraging her to trust you, Father. And Father, if there's any spirits of unbelief, doubt, worry, and strife, we just bind them up right now in Jesus' name. May they go right now and not affect our sister in Christ. And Father, I speak peace over her. I thank you, Father, for everything that you are doing for her right now. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that she would be able to use this as a testimony to bring others closer to you so that they may know that you are good and you are a faithful Father. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Is there anything else I can pray for you? You're welcome. Is there anything else I can pray for you about?
No, ma'am. I just appreciate you for being obedient to God.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I try. We're all trying, but thank you. Well, if you have, I want to hear. I normally tell people to always give me a praise report. So that not only encourages you, but it encourages others when they can hear the good things that the Father is doing for his children. So do call back and give me a praise report, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. You have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you. All righty. All right, so guys, this prayer request that I have in my heart right now is for the people in Asia. That are being affected by this man-made virus. And we just want to lift, I want you guys to be in agreement with me to lift them up, to keep them in prayer, to take authority over the spirit of infirmity, for you all to also join in with me to take authority over the spirit of fear, because the enemy is using this to drive fear into the hearts of believers. And we know that we should not have anything to do with fear, for the Father has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a sound mind. So I ask that you all would join in with me to come against this in the spirit realm. Now, we're going to do this properly. We're going to make sure that not only do we pray against darkness rightfully, that we also make sure that we cover ourselves in the blood and make sure that we are wearing our full armor, because darkness has a tendency to retaliate. So we want to make sure that we crush all those plans that darkness has to retaliate against us for standing firm in the faith and for using our authority that the Father has given us here on earth. So right now, if you wouldn't mind, join in with me as I pray and intercede for those who are overseas right now being affected. Now, it also seems as if some people have made it to the West in the United States that are also carriers of this, but I'm not sure if this is a truthful thing that I've been told or if it's someone that's just trying to be malicious. So, Heavenly Father, I just lift up the people that are being affected right now by this disease. I lift up those whose family members are hurting as they watch their family members be affected by this disease. And I also lift up those, Father, who are in the body of Christ, who may be struggling with unbelief and are wavering in their faith. by seeing this pestilence come upon the earth. So, Father, we just take authority over the spirit of infirmity that's affecting other believers in Christ, and we command it to leave them right now in Jesus' name. We also take authority over the spirit of fear because it has no place here. So we just command it to leave also in Jesus' name. And we, Father, we know that you have purposed and planned things in the earth and that you would not allow anything to cross your eyes that you did not see in regards to what's going on here on earth. And you know exactly the end from the beginning. So we just thank you, Father, that you have total control over what's going on. You have total control over healing those who are affected, both mentally, spiritually, and physically. I mean, and also, Father, you have control over those entities that are trying to perpetuate evil on this earth. And, Father, we just thank you for it. We thank you for taking care of the situation. We thank you for healing those who you want to heal. We thank you for bringing this as a way of spreading your word and increasing acknowledgement of who you are, Father, so people will cry out in repentance and praise to you. And we thank you, Father, for using this that was meant for evil and turning it around for good. And Heavenly Father, we ask in Yeshua's mighty name that you would make it clear to those who are wavering in their faith that you have all power and control and that they have nothing to fear. Build them up, Father, and keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you are listening to the Sunday Night Prayer Team Show. I thank you guys who are already on the call and listening into the show for listening tonight. I also would like to let you guys know who are just now listening in. I am your host, Aubrey. If you need prayer, feel free to call me at 319-527-6027 and make sure you press the number 1 so I can see you in the queue and pray for you. It seems right now as if I have more listeners than people needing prayer, which can be a really, really, really good thing because it shows that you guys are standing firm in your faith and believing that the Father is making his moves right now, even as we speak. So in a means of transition really, really quick, I normally play this to give people encouragement who have been walking in the faith or those who may have fell backwards or have become backslidden. I'm going to get it out. So in the meantime, before I come back, as I'm waiting for people that would like to put their hand up to pray, to have prayer, I would like you guys to listen to The Man on George Street. If you haven't already heard it, this is a very good, good encouraging word, and I hope it encourages you. So after this plays, I'll be back.
This message is non-copyright. Duplication is encouraged.
A number of years ago, in a Baptist church in Crystal Palace in southern London, the Sunday morning service was closing, and a stranger stood up at the back, raised his hand. He said, "Excuse me, Pastor, can I share a little testimony?" The pastor looked at his watch. He said, "You've got 3 minutes." And this man proceeded. He said, "I've just moved into this area. I used to live in another part of London. I came from Sydney in Australia, and just a few months back, I was visiting some relatives, and I was walking down George Street." You know where George Street is in Sydney? It runs from the business hub out to the rocks, the colonial area. And he said, "A strange little white-haired man stepped out of a shop doorway, put a pamphlet in my hand, and he said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?'" He said, "I was astounded by those words. Nobody had ever told me that. I thanked him courteously, and all the way on British Airlines back to Heathrow, this puzzled me. I called a friend who lived in this new area where I'm living now, and thank God he was a Christian. He led me to Christ, and I'm a Christian, and I want a fellowship here." And Baptists love testimonies like it. Everyone applauded and welcomed him into the fellowship. That Baptist pastor flew to Adelaide in Australia the next week. And 10 days later, in the middle of a 3-day series in a Baptist church in Adelaide, a woman came to him for counseling, and he wanted to establish where she stood with Christ. And she said, "I used to live in Sydney. And just a couple of months back, I was visiting friends in Sydney, doing some last-minute shopping down George Street, and a strange little white-haired man, elderly man, stepped out of a shop doorway, offered me a pamphlet, and said, 'Excuse me, ma'am, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?'" She said, "I was disturbed by those words. When I got back to Adelaide, I knew this Baptist church was on the next block from me, and I sought out the pastor, and he led me to Christ. So, sir, I'm telling you that I am a Christian." Now, this London pastor was now very puzzled. Twice, within a fortnight, he'd heard the same testimony. He then flew to preach in the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Perth. And when his teaching series was over, the senior elder of that church took him out for a meal. And he said, "Mate, how'd you get saved?" He said, "I grew up in this church from the age of 15 through Boys Brigade. Never made a commitment to Jesus, just hopped on the bandwagon like everybody else. And because of my business ability, grew up to a place of influence. I was on a business outing in Sydney just 3 years ago, and an obnoxious, spiteful little man stepped out of a stop shop doorway, offered me a religious pamphlet, cheap junk, and accosted me with a question. 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?' He said, I tried to tell him I was a Baptist elder. He wouldn't listen to me. He said, I was seething with anger all the way home on Qantas to Perth. He said, I told my pastor, thinking he would sympathize with me, and my pastor agreed. He had been disturbed for years, knowing that I didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and he was right. And my pastor led me to Jesus just 3 years ago. Now, this London preacher flew back to the UK and was speaking at the Keswick Convention in the Lake District. And he threw in these three testimonies. At the close of his teaching session, four elderly pastors came up and said, we got saved between 25 and 35 years ago, respectively, through that little man on George Street giving us a tract and asking us that question. He then flew the following week to a similar Keswick convention in the Caribbean to missionaries. And he shared the testimonies. At the close of his teaching session, three missionaries came up and said, we got saved between 15 and 25 years ago, respectively, through that little man's testimony and asking us that same question on George Street in Sydney. Coming back to London, he stopped outside Atlanta, Georgia, to speak at a naval chaplain's convention. And when his 3 days of revving these naval chaplains up, over 1,000 of them, in soul winning, the chaplain general took him out for a meal. And he said, how'd you become a Christian? He said, well, it was miraculous. I was a rating on a United States battleship, and I lived a reprobate life. We were doing exercises in the South Pacific, and we docked in Sydney Harbour for replenishment. We hit King's Cross with a vengeance. I got blind drunk. I got on the wrong bus, got off in George Street, and as I got off the bus, I thought it was a ghost. This elderly white-haired man jumped in front of me, pushed a pamphlet in my hand and said, sailor, are you saved? If you die tonight, you're going to heaven. He said, the fear of God hit me immediately. I was shocked sober and ran back to the battleship, sought out the chaplain. The chaplain led me to Christ, and I soon began to prepare for the ministry under his guidance, and here I am in charge of over 1,000 chaplains, and we're bent on soul winning today. That London preacher, 6 months later, flew to do a convention for 5,000 Indian missionaries in a remote corner of northeastern India. And at the end, the Indian missionary in charge, a humble little man, took him home to his humble little home for a simple meal. And he said, how did you, as a Hindu, come to Christ? He said, I was in a very privileged position. I worked for the Indian diplomatic mission. And I traveled the world. And I am so glad for the forgiveness of Christ and his blood covering my sin, because I'd be very embarrassed if people found out what I got into. He said, one bout of diplomatic service took me to Sydney. And I was doing some last-minute shopping, laden with parcels of toys and clothing for my children, walking down George Street. And this courteous little white-haired man stepped out in front of me, offered me a pamphlet, and said, excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? He said, I thanked him very much, but this disturbed me. I got back to my town, I sought out the Hindu priest, and he couldn't help me. But he gave me some advice. He said, just to satisfy your curious mind, nothing else, go and talk to the missionary in the mission house at the end of the road. And that was fatal advice. He said, because that day the missionary led me to Christ, I quit Hinduism immediately, and then began to study for the ministry. I left the diplomatic service, and here I am, by God's grace, in charge of all these missionaries, and we are winning hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. Well, 8 months later, that Crystal Palace Baptist pastor was ministering in Sydney, in Gymea, southern suburb of Sydney. And he said to the Baptist minister, do you know a little man, an elderly little man, who witnesses and hands out tracts on George Street? And he said, I do. His name is Mr. Genor, G-E-N-O-R. But I don't think he does it anymore. He's too frail and elderly. The man said, I want to meet him. 2 nights later, they went around to this little apartment, knocked on the door, and this tiny, frail little man opened the door. He sat them down, made them some tea, and he was so frail he was slopping tea into the saucer as he shook. And as he sat with them, this London preacher told him all these accounts over the previous 3 years. This little man sat with tears running down his cheeks. He said, my story goes like this. He said, I was a rating on an Australian warship, and I lived a reprobate life, and in a crisis, I really hit the wall, and one of my colleagues, whom I gave literal hell, was there to help me. He led me to Jesus, and the change in my life was night to day in 24 hours. And I was so grateful to God. I promised God that I would share Jesus in a simple witness with at least 10 people a day. As God gave me strength. Sometimes I was ill, I couldn't do it, but I made up for it for other times. I wasn't paranoid about it, but I have done this for over 40 years, and in my retirement years, the best place was on George Street. There were hundreds of people. I got lots of rejections, but a lot of people courteously took the tracts. And he said, in 40 years of doing this, I've never heard of one single person coming to Jesus until today. Do you know, I would say that has to be commitment. That has to be just sheer gratitude and love for Jesus to do that, not hearing of any results. Margarita did a little count. That's 146,100 people that simple little non-charismatic Baptist man influenced somehow to Jesus. And I believe what God was showing that Baptist minister was the tip of the tip of the tip of the tip of this iceberg. Goodness knows how many more had been arrested for Christ and were doing huge jobs out in the mission field. Mr. Gennell died 2 weeks later. And can you imagine the reward he went home to in heaven? I doubt if his face would ever have appeared on Charisma magazine. I doubt if there would ever have been a write-up with a photograph in Billy Graham's Decision magazine, as beautiful as those magazines are. Nobody except a little group of Baptists in southern Sydney knew about Mr. Gennell. But I'll tell you, his name was famous in heaven. Heaven knew Mr. Gennell. And you can imagine the welcome and the red carpet and the fanfare he went home to when he arrived in glory.
How amazing is that? I hope listening to The Man on George Street edified you guys. I'm running out of time on this show. I try not to take people as I'm about to sign off because I don't have enough time to pray for them. But in the meantime, guys, until we meet again on air, I ask that you guys would love one another. Make sure you show someone that you love them. And until next time, guys, be faith, stay on the narrow path. All right, guys, have a great evening. This is the Sunday Night Prayer Team Show. I am your host, Aubrey, and I will see you guys next time.